Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Covers college football for the SEC Network. For TMGCollegeSports.com, Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tony Barnhart, it's Gary Parrish. I appreciate you being here.
GP, it's good to be with you.
You're the best. I owe you. You're always helping me out whenever we need you. And we need you because it is the Wednesday of college football season. And it seems to me, at least, that we got two teams at the top of the polls that look like they might have a little bit of separation between them and everybody else. And that's Alabama and Georgia. Both of them play in the SEC. Do you see it that way as well? Like, those two teams both look super, super strong.
Yeah, they do look strong. They're very similar. They're very physical on the line of scrimmage. I mean, Saturday I was at the Georgia-South Carolina game, and Georgia was just scary good with their ability to just sort of impose their will on South Carolina. We know what Alabama is. Only question I've got now is Ohio State that good? And frankly, is Clemson that good after watching them get taken to the wire by Texas A&M? You know, game is on the road, but Alabama and Georgia right now, to me, look like the two best teams in the country.
Obviously, you've been around that Georgia program forever, been around the SEC forever. You know, Nick Saban assistants, I don't want to say they're hit or miss, but they're not all incredible successes, but it looks like Kirby Smart has got the goods. Did you always suspect he was going to be able to do what he's doing right now?
I did. I've known Kirby since he was a freshman at Georgia, and I more than once, when Alabama was going through that great run and they'd win an SEC championship or something, I'd see him sort of hanging around the stage. And I remember after one SEC championship, I just turned to him. I said, your day's coming. And he nodded his head. And so he's done it by learning from obviously the greatest coach in our generation, maybe of all time. And he's coaching at a place like Georgia that's got everything you need in terms of resources and talent and stuff like that. So it's really the perfect match of coach and place.
Do you have a sense for what makes him great?
It's great attention to detail, relentless in recruiting, understands that there are certain things you've got to do to win championships, and one of them is to be physical. I mean, you know, we see all the spread offenses and the up tempo and throwing it all over the lot. The fact is that you can win games with that, and you can entertain people with it. But if you're going to win championships in the SEC, you've got to be physical, and that's something he brought with him from Alabama.
Talking to Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. He's on Twitter at Mr. CFB. What do you make of the way Nick Saban has handled the quarterback situation in Tuscaloosa?
Once the game started, the first game with Louisville 2 weeks ago, it was abundantly clear who the best quarterback was. Everybody knew that. And you know what? Nick Saban knew that too. But the way he's handled things in the past, he understands there needs to be a game where everybody sees what the situation is, where the locker room has made up its mind. And I think he handled it as best he could. Yeah, he got a little testy with the questions every now and then. But in terms of managing the situation, he told me this a long time ago. He said, Tony, most of the time, the locker room will tell you who the starting quarterback is. And I promise you, that's exactly what happened with Tua and Jalen Hurts.
Talking to Tony Barnhart from the SEC Network here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I think I had always assumed, and this is just me from a distance, maybe projecting a little bit about what I would do if I were Jalen Hurts, but I wouldn't play more than four games, and then I would just sit it out and save a year of eligibility, transfer, and have 2 years left after this season. It does not appear that that's what Jalen Hurts is going to do. It seems like he's comfortable, not comfortable, but like he's willing to be the backup and play throughout this season and then figure out where he wants to play next year. Is that the way you're reading it as well?
Yeah, because when we listen, before last week's game against Arkansas State, it was really simple. Jalen had three choices. One was to leave, okay? The other was to stay and play in only four games. The final choice was to be all in for the whole season. And if he was going to use the redshirt option, he never would have played against Arkansas State. If you only got four hits at it, you're not going to use one of them. You're going to wait until you're needed. So he has obviously decided that he would rather stay with his teammates, which is totally consistent with his behavior over the years. He's a great teammate, and have another run at another national championship ring. And it's, you know, it had to be a tough decision, because basically he is trading a shot at a national championship, another national championship, for a year of eligibility. That's the trade-off.
There is some speculation that he could transfer to Auburn, which would be a fascinating story. Do you think that's a realistic possibility?
I think it's a possibility. I think Texas is another possibility, being from that area. It'll be interesting because the guy is extremely talented. He just simply does not have as much arm talent as Tua Tagovailoa, and he needs to go someplace where the quarterback run is a real, real big part of the offense. And he would certainly fit in Auburn. He would be a great player in that offense. Gus Malzahn likes to run, but it'll be very interesting to see where he goes. Maybe after 3 years at Alabama, he just can't bring himself to go to Auburn.
I'm actually rooting for that, just because I'd like to see the meltdown in the state.
Oh, it would be entertaining.
I'm rooting for my own entertainment, and having the Alabama quarterback transfer to Auburn would be something. I'm talking to Tony Barnhart from the SEC Network, from TMG at collegesports.com. Obviously, Crimson Tide, top ranked, 2-0, headed to Oxford this weekend. You give Ole Miss any chance to scare them at all?
No. Ole Miss is going to be – listen, Ole Miss can score 40 on anybody. But I'm telling you, Gary, me and you and nine guys from out of the parking lot could score 45 on them.
Right.
I'm just telling you. They scored 76 against Southern Illinois and gave up 41. I promise you, Southern Illinois ain't going to score 41 against in anybody they play in their league. So it is an issue. It's one that Matt Luke and I have talked about. He said the problem is we can't just let them run up and down the field. So what the balancing act he'll have Saturday is how many people does he commit to the run, stopping the run game, and when that happens, does Tua light them up with that great set of wide receivers? I think that's the way it's going to go.
I mean, it's not even crazy to think they could come out and do five touchdowns on the first five possessions. Like, how will they have more touchdowns than punts in the game? Like, it's a reasonable question.
Here's the deal. The over and under, and I'm starting to pay attention to the point spreads and over and under now because I didn't before.
Right.
The over and under in this game is 71.
Right.
Alabama might get 71.
Right.
Okay? So, to me, that's fascinating.
If they don't get 71, it'll just be because they decided not to. But if they want to go get 71, they probably can.
Absolutely. They can hang up any number they want to.
I'm talking to Tony Barnhart from the SEC Network. How impressive, if at all, was Mississippi State's win at Kansas State? Just on a very surface level, it's like, whoa, going to the Big 12, going to Kansas State, Bill Snyder, that looked good. But how good is Kansas State? Do we know?
I don't think Kansas State's very good.
Right.
But to go on the road, second game, to win up there, not only win, but play, to have that new running back, Kylin Hill, is a stud, over 200 yards rushing. And, Fitzgerald, I thought, looked pretty good, all things considered. So I thought it was a good win. Now, they still got to play the big boys in the SEC West, which is getting better and better every week, it seems like. But I was impressed that they could go on the road. And they were never in danger in that game. They were in control the whole time.
I'm wrapping up here with Tony Barnhart from the SEC Network. Last thing before I let you go, Memphis is going to play Missouri next month. Missouri's obviously off to a 2-0 start. It's most recently a win over Wyoming. They're at Purdue this weekend. How good is that Missouri team?
I'm really up and down. A lot of people tell me I've undervalued Missouri, because there were so many unknowns with Derek Dooley, the offensive coordinator, for the first time. But Drew Locke is an NFL quarterback. He's got an NFL arm, and they've gotten off to a good start. Their issues have been on defense more than anything else. I'll be anxious. You know, Purdue has not gotten out of the gate very well, so I'm anxious to see how that game goes. I think I had Missouri fifth in the SEC East, or maybe sixth with Vanderbilt last. It's possible that I undervalued them. We'll see.
That is Tony Barnhart from the SEC Network, TMGCollegeSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at MrCFB. You're the best, buddy. Thanks for being here.
All right, GP. Take care.
My man, Tony Barnhart from the SEC Network. If you're a Memphis fan, what you're hoping, because you look at Missouri's schedule, they go at Purdue,
okay,
which is like whatever, but it's at Purdue. It's, then it's Georgia.
That's tough.
Then at South Carolina.
That's another tough one.
Then at Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they host Memphis. And so what
they're
you're hoping is Georgia and Alabama just beat them up.
Yeah, and they will.
I would assume,
yes,
because Georgia looked awesome this past weekend. And obviously Alabama with a real quarterback threat with his arm. Like, I don't know how you beat them. I'm not saying they're unbeatable.
No.
I'm just saying it's difficult to imagine somebody beating them. Like I told you earlier in the week, Tua Tagovailoa is now, besides all of the passer rating stuff, leads the SEC, he's 10 of 10 on third down.
Incredible.
Like when they let him throw on third down, like to the they don't have to punt.
No.
Like to the extent that you know, it's been when they're third and super long and they can't quite get there, or third and short and they run the ball instead of let him throw. But he's 10 of 10
so fantastic
on third downs and has just been terrific. Like as good as Jalen Hurts was as Alabama's quarterback, and like keep in mind, it's a guy who
pretty good.
I think 19 and 3 as a starter, maybe even better than that. I can't remember the exact number.
Lost one or two games.
It's not even undeniable. No. It's not even like
it's not close.
It's not a debate about who the best quarterback is. And you know, Nick Saban, one of the remarkable things about all his success at Alabama is that he's had good quarterbacks, but not like guys who throw it and you go, ooh, he's going to be good on Sunday.
Yeah.
Tua is somebody who looks like he's going to be good on Sunday. And when you combine that with everything else Alabama has, I mean, I do believe that Alabama and Georgia are the top two teams in the country. And here will be my prediction.
Yeah.
They're going to play in the SEC. They're both going undefeated, play in the SEC championship game, and then both go in the college football playoff.
Oh, I could see that too. I was really interested in his answer about Ole Miss, because after watching Ole Miss last weekend, I think he's right. I think the over-under, I think they'll clear that, but I think Ole Miss is going to get just really demolished this weekend.
Well, the point spread's only actually 21, and if you believe that
21 is the point spread, and 71 was the over-under, I think is what Tony just said.
So if you believe that Alabama can put any number on Ole Miss,
Tony thinks so.
Then eventually, like Ole Miss, I mean, Ole Miss is going to score.
Yeah, they'll score some.
But are they going to score enough to keep up with that?
No.
I mean, like if you know, if Alabama can reasonably go out and get 50,
I could see that.
No problem. You know, is Ole Miss going to be able to stay close? Are they going to score enough to keep that close?
Three or four touchdowns, maybe.
I don't know, but it'll be it'll be a scene.
I've
on
had
Saturday
a number
night.
Of people ask me about that over under number. I think that's a tough one. 71. You know,
I mean, it's a big number, but like when one team is Alabama and the other team is a team that can't stop anybody, that's how you get a big number playing that game. We'll see.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.